Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I'm not going to lie to you. There's not a ton going on today, which I know is probably not the world's greatest sales pitch off the top of the show, but have no fear. We've never really needed heavy, big news cycles to have a fun show around here at Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, and today is really no different on that, because what we've done is, while there's no like one really big story that's got everybody's attention, it's got everybody talking, while that may be true, there are a lot of little things kind of going on right now. We're going to do a lot of those over the course of our program today. We've also got a special guest joining us for the first time in a while on the show. That's going to be good. A lot of this is recruiting related on the program here, too. In fact, let me start with this. Never a bad idea to begin a show by mocking Florida a little bit. I do think there is a chance for Georgia fans to do some of that right now. Let me go back to Dan Mullen on signing day, you know, back in, I guess, just not too long ago, you know, talking about his work to get the job done, his work to bring in players, his work to get that done. And he admitted at the time, listen, hey, when you're trying to bring these players in, until you got that signature on the dotted line, you never feel great about these things. In fact, here's what Mullen said about that.
Even guys you feel comfortable with, you know, until you get that, you know, we're at a new technological stage. So the picture on the phone instead of the fax, right? This is annual. National Fax Day, Fax Machine Day. Until you get that picture of the fax, till you get it through and you have the official copy of it right there. Even the guys you feel good and you know are coming, you're still worried about until it is official.
So Dan Mullen says, until I have that letter of intent in my hand or the photocopy of that signature on my phone, I don't feel good about those guys. All coaches, to a certain extent, probably feel the same way that Mullen does on that. Mullen may have more reason to feel that way than some coaches do because, let's face it, Mullen may not be the world's greatest salesman closing the deal when it comes to this kind of stuff. But Mullen knows that on the recruiting trail, sometimes commitments don't mean all that much. And it seems like as of late, boy, there's been a lot of bad news for Florida in comparison to Georgia when it comes to recruiting. We talked at the beginning of the week about Warren Brinson, who was a Georgia commit, then decommitted, then announced Georgia and Florida as his top two. There was all kinds of online chatter in the Sunshine State that Brinson was going to go to Florida, and then, well, Brinson pulled the rug out from underneath Mullen and the rest of the Gators and chose Georgia. We had some fun with that. To go along with also Jalen Carter, another in-state defensive lineman that Georgia recently won a recruitment with. It was a kind of a stinging blow to a lot of Gators fans who, like Georgia fans, look at Carter as kind of a rising prospect among those defensive line ranks, which is also to say nothing about and get nothing into the whole issue involving Carson Beck, the quarterback who a lot of Gators fans thought they had the inside track on, only to spurn Florida, choose Georgia, and essentially insinuate in audio that we've played before that he was using his flirtation with Florida to get Georgia kind of up off and running and get Georgia giving him that offer so he could make the commitment to Georgia. So it's not been a great run for Florida when it comes to side-by-side comparisons with Georgia. Recruiting, and around here, we don't pretend to be anything that we aren't. We take great joy in seeing Florida dealing with this kind of stuff. We like the spiteful way in which Florida's been handled on the recruiting trail. We're Gator haters. We think that's a lot of fun. So a couple more things along those lines. I saw where Morvin Joseph, who is a kind of an outside linebacker slash defensive end type guy, he is a three-star prospect. He is a Florida commit. Never a great thing if you're a Florida fan or a Florida coach to see one of your commits dressed up in the Georgia jersey, the spike shoulder pad, saying that he's going to take a visit to Georgia on June 12th. Now, no disrespect to Joseph. I don't necessarily think that his relationship with Georgia is all that strong right now. I'd be shocked to find Morvin Joseph as a member of Georgia's 2020 recruiting class, but nonetheless, I still like Florida commits taking Georgia visits, even if ultimately maybe he's not in Georgia's plans and, you know, Joseph wants to go to a place where he has a chance to have a better fit and maybe have a chance to compete for more playing time. Whatever the real story here is, it's still kind of funny to see a Florida commit wearing a Georgia uniform and touting his Georgia visit coming up, and if that's funny, Something that's even funnier than that was Leonard Manuel, who's a pretty big-time player at the wide receiver position and a Florida commit for quite some time. Well, just late this week, within the last, 24 hours or so, Leonard Manuel has dropped a top seven. Now, forget for a moment the fact that the word commitment clearly doesn't mean what it used to mean. If a commitment to a program is dropping a top seven, I'm not here to argue about that one way or another. But among this top seven that Leonard Manuel drops, a Florida commit and a wide receiver, and a pretty good one, among the schools on that list is the Georgia Bulldogs. So if you're a Florida fan, this has not been a great week for you when it comes to how your program's battling head-to-head when it comes to Georgia. One of your commits is touting an upcoming visit to the Dogs. One of your really impressive wide receiver commits is including Georgia in a long list of finalists when maybe you thought you had the hard commit on that. The bottom line is this. One of the reasons why we don't take the Florida hype that's come from some circles of the national media seriously is because of a very simple belief that we have around here. That belief is that success leaves clues. That if Florida is a program on the rise, and if Dan Mullen is the kind of guy who's about to manipulate something impressive in Gainesville, the first people to notice will be the people closest to that situation. The 2020 recruits, the 2021 recruits, who Mullen's trying to impress. If Florida's on the rise, they'll know it first because they're the ones who were invited to the inside, the inner sanctum, if you will, of the Florida program. And right now, a lot of those guys maybe don't see it. That's why Georgia's winning with the Warren Brinsons the way that it is. That's why Georgia's winning with the Jalen Carters and the Carson Becks the way that it is. That's why maybe Leonard Manuel's not completely sold on whether or not he wants to go to Florida. Do I think Manuel's coming to Georgia? Once again, probably not. I think Georgia's targeting some wide receivers right now and feels pretty good about that. But do I believe fully and surely that Manuel's going to go to Florida? I may not quite believe that either, because I think right now, as much as we're skeptical of Florida, I think the elite recruits are also a little skeptical of the Gators as well, and that may matter more than anything else. All right, let me transition to a different subject here for a moment. I like mocking Florida, but I don't want to spend the whole show doing that. Instead, one of the things I want to do here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger is go back way back in time. Prior to National Signing Day in 2017, back when there was only one signing day, it was just a February signing day. There was no early signing period back then, but leading up to that signing day, at one of our Marlowe's Tavern broadcasts, we had a chance to catch up with then offensive lineman, then four-star offensive lineman from Cedar Grove, Notori Johnson. Now, of all the interviews that we've done with recruits over the years, the Notori interview may be among the more interesting because Notori just has a really big personality. It's one of the reasons why over the last couple of years with Notori, you know, kind of, you know, in that mix for Georgia along the offensive line, one of the reasons why we got so many questions about Notori was because of the fact that people liked him because he had the great personality, easily recognizable on dog walks because he has, you know, the glowing dyed hair and just a big personality all the way around. And in fact, let me give you an example of this going back a couple of years ago. And there's a larger point to make on this beyond just Notori Johnson himself, but I want to start with Notori on this, that when Jeff Sintel asked him how he planned to make his mark at Georgia, Notori at the time, this is years ago now, at Marlowe's Tavern, he didn't mince words about what he planned to do at UGA. Let's hear Notori in his own words here.
What's going to be your mindset? What are you going to do immediately to try to get noticed, to get on the field and make an impact?
Take whoever is right there in my spot. I'm going to beat that guy out. Whoever, how many guys, I don't know how many guys. I think it's two guys I got to beat out right now. I'm most definitely going to take that position, that right guard, left guard position, and show that Sony Michelle and Nick Chubb that what we're going to do with the freshman.
So listen, that's Notori Johnson not hiding his feelings that he was coming to Georgia to take someone's spot. And credit to Notori for saying that out loud, because every recruit thinks that, but not every recruit's bold enough to say it out loud. Notori Johnson was. And as many of you are aware of, at Georgia as an offensive lineman, so far that hasn't really worked out. So much so to the point where Notori Johnson has now switched sides of the ball. He's now working as a defensive lineman. But here's where I think Georgia fans need to make sure they're paying very close attention to what's going on this summer with Notori Johnson and with guys like Notori Johnson. You know, yesterday, or within the last couple days, I guess it was yesterday, Georgia strength and conditioning coach Scott Sinclair shared a video on Twitter of a lot of Georgia players going through their workouts. And one of the videos that Sinclair shared was a pretty impressive physical condition that Notori Johnson is in and a workout that Notori Johnson is doing. For our video audience, we have that video we can show. What Sinclair writes on Twitter is, I think my homemade jammer arms work great. He's talking about an apparatus he's got Notori Johnson working here with here. Sinclair says, explosive and powerful. Nice work, Notori. So, and if you're watching a video, you can see Notori doing that. And like I said, physically, he looks to be in very impressive physical condition right there. My overall point on this is this. For guys like Notori Johnson, there were a lot of them in the 2017 class, and there may be about to be a lot of those for the 2018 class as well. When you come into Georgia with a lot of accolades and, let's face it, in some cases, a lot of hype around you, and it doesn't work out to the tune of early playing time right away, in this modern age of college football that we live in, there are a lot of opportunities just to pout about that, to kind of tuck tail and run, go find an easier place to play, kind of blame something on somebody else. But based on that video that you just saw from Notori Johnson a moment ago, that doesn't seem to be what he's doing. He's taken the challenge, and admittedly, probably what was the disappointment of coming in here early on and thinking he's going to get a chance to play right away, that not happening. And if Sis saying, well, I guess something's wrong with Georgia, he said, or it seems to be in the process of saying, what can I do better to put myself in a position to go out there and earn that playing time, maybe on the other side of the ball? And there are a lot of Georgia players who are doing that right now. So we won't get to see all of this. Scott Sinclair won't show an unlimited number of videos of these summer workouts. But keep in mind that not every one of the Georgia players who, you know, it's not just the Georgia players who we give the most attention to who are the ones who are necessarily working the hardest. In some cases, those guys behind the scene who are fighting and scratching and clawing for just that first taste of legitimate playing time. One of those guys is Notori Johnson. For all the guys who are doing that at Georgia right now, I think they deserve a little credit. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by Kroger, and we're glad to have you with us live on video at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed. We're on the radio at noon, of course, every single day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we are available as a podcast pretty much wherever you find them, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, the world-famous DogNation.com. We are just really glad that you are with us right now, and a huge thanks to Kroger for making it all possible. By the way, speaking of Kroger, make sure you fire up the flavor with Dad just in time for Father's Day. Well, whatever you're doing kind of for that cookout stuff, whether it be on Father's Day weekend coming up or anytime this summer, you can find that perfect meal, whether it be pork back ribs, brats, or Italian sausages, ice cream, and of course some terrapin beer, some sweet water, all that kind of stuff there as well. And you can get great savings on all of it at Kroger with your card. Make sure you check all that out. And of course, thanks to Kroger for bringing Dog Nation Daily to us here today. Coming up in a couple of minutes, for the first time in a little while, we're going to welcome back Barrett Salee from CBS Sports to our program. Barrett has had some interesting things to say about UGA as of late. We'll do a lot of that with Barrett coming up on our program, and that's going to be fun to have him as part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today. Let me also tell you, it was great to be at Callaway Resort and Gardens yesterday. Man, oh man, are we getting excited about Dog Nation Days of Summer. We're now less than a week away. It kicks off Thursday, June 13th. You can go to DogNation.com, find out more details about that, whether you're in the West Georgia area, you're driving over that day, whether you're kind of like me in the Atlanta area looking forward to getting an escape, swimming the lake, enjoy the amenities, playing golf with us on Friday, maybe a little fishing off the dock, you know, whatever you got going on there. Callaway Resort and Gardens has a whole list of amenities to make Dog Nation Days of Summer a ton of fun. Of course, we're going to have a big event there that night starting at 6 p.m. Jeff Sintel's a part of that. Former great Georgia Bulldog All-American John Stinchcomb a part of that. A VIP reception at 5 p.m. where we've got some, you know, gifts to give away and some fun times to share. Dog Nation Days of Summer kicks off Thursday, June 13th at Callaway Resort and Gardens, and it is going to be a ton of fun. All right, before we do Barrett Salee and talk some more about him, about the things happening with Georgia on the field this season, let me also do a little bit of a look ahead to recruiting here for a moment. And let me do that as a part of Around the Doghouse, presented today by Merriweather and Tharp. And obviously, we have talked a lot about running back recruiting on this program for not just the last few weeks, but really months and months and months. It's a big need for Georgia in its 2020 class. And I thought that someone in our forum, it's forum.dognation.com, I thought a recent poster there had a very interesting point that I thought probably encapsulated pretty well the feelings of a lot of Georgia fans right now. And I wanted to read this as part of Around the Doghouse presented by Merriweather and Tharp, and then we'll probably end up breaking this down a good bit more later on. The poster's name is Varsity. This is from our forum at forum.dognation.com. By the way, it's a totally free message board that's really fun to be a part of and provides some great connection with other UGA fans, and it's really good information, so you should check it out for yourself at forum.dognation.com. But what Varsity writes on the forum is, in a comparison between Kendall Milton, the five-star running back who took an official visit to Georgia next week, and five-star running back Zachary Evans, who recently named Georgia as his finalist, the comparison between these two. What Varsity writes is, Milton has unequivocally been UGA's primary running back target, it would seem, but I dare ask, why? Why does it seem like the UGA coaching staff is pursuing Milton more than Evans? When you watch the film of both players and compare them, one thing stands out: the opposing athletes they're playing against. He says, for Zachary Evans, they resemble college athletes more so than those featured in Milton's highlights. This leads me to believe that Evans is the more SEC-ready back and a better fit for Georgia. That's Varsity, a poster at the forum.dognation.com. And the reason why I share his words there is because I do think that's fairly well reflective of what a lot of Georgia fans think. Kendall Milton seems to get all this attention, yet I like Zachary Evans as a player better. Here's the one thing I'll say now on this, and we'll talk a lot more about this a little bit later on in our program. I think the big difference between Milton and Evans is not necessarily who's the better player, because frankly, none of us truly know that. Even the experts who may weigh in on this, ultimately no one truly knows who's going to be the better college player between Evans and Milton. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that, yeah, Evans is a really good player, but there's also probably some evidence that suggests Milton is good too. The big difference between these two guys right now is the Milton recruitment is just playing out in a much more public fashion. Sort of show like this, that's kind of also a public forum, Milton's presence on social media and the things that other Georgia recruits say about him kind of lend to more discussion. Doesn't mean he's closer to Georgia than Evans necessarily is, but I do think it makes the recruitment of Milton a lot more public right now. And to me, when it comes to these two players, that's the big difference right now. But we'll talk more about this later on. It's Around the Doghouse, presented by Meriwether and Tharp. And of course, you know, when it comes to the subject of divorce, most people would rather talk about anything but that. But let's face it, for many of you, unfortunately, it's going to become a reality that you can't ignore. And that means that if you're dealing with it, you want expert counsel by your side. You want the importance of preparation to get ready to face this. Because it seems like maybe you'll never be able to feel normal and whole again. But the honest truth is that you will, especially if you allow Meriwether and Tharp to guide you through that process and get the best possible outcome for you. So you can get a free telephone consultation with their attorneys, or you can go to theatlantadivorceteam.com. Once again, theatlantadivorceteam.com, and help them set you up, free consultation, talk about your situation, because every situation is obviously different, and they can have you on the road to feeling better again and do the right thing for you and your family. Please check out Meriwether and Tharp at theatlantadivorceteam.com. All right, we'll do more on Milton and Evans later on. There's also some other recruiting news involving these guys to get to. But for now, here on Dog Nation Daily, let's talk to our buddy Barrett Salee. And it is always a fun day for me when we get a chance to have Barrett Salee as part of Dog Nation Daily. Great writer now for CBS Sports. Also a guy that you hear on the radio all across the world, I guess, from time to time. And just a terrific, terrific voice on the sport of college football. Barrett, welcome back to our program. We appreciate you being with us and hope your summer's going well.
I appreciate it, B.A. Great to be on with you, and I hope you are enjoying the summer as well.
Yeah, I really am. It's been a lot of fun. And let me start with this, because as you might imagine, we talk about Georgia every day here, and so in some form or fashion, we end up wrestling with this topic virtually with everything that comes up. How good is Georgia right now? Because it would seem that there's a gap between Georgia and everybody else in the country, minus Alabama and Clemson, but obviously Alabama and Clemson are the two teams that Georgia's facing right now. So when you look at the pecking order, the placement of Georgia within the rest of the landscape of college football, how close are they to the Tigers and the Tide, and how close is somebody else to sneaking up on Georgia? Where do you kind of place the dogs right now?
I think they're much closer to Georgia and Alabama than anybody else is to them. So I would put, you know, Georgia and Clemson obviously in a league of their own after what we've seen, swapping national championships every year for the last 4 years. Georgia would be a step down from them, not a very big step, but a step down, and then a pretty significant step down to, you know, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Ohio State, whichever team it is on any given year, below the Bulldogs. So even though Georgia didn't make the college football playoff last year, I think it's certainly fair to say, based on how they played Georgia or played Alabama each of the last two seasons, that they belong in that conversation with those two a little bit on the periphery But at least in that conversation, the cards just didn't play out in their favor last year. So that's where Kirby Smart has brought this team based on the way they've recruited. And you talked about recruiting earlier in the show. They will continue to be that way because it is the Jimmys and the Joes. It's not always the X's and O's. So, I think they're right there. They don't have the title to prove it. They don't have the hardware. They don't have that jewelry. But that's just a matter of time. Sometimes you need some luck to do it. Alabama got that luck 2 years ago because they got into the playoff because there was no other option and obviously won it over Georgia. Georgia didn't have that luck last year, but if they did, the same thing, the opposite couldn't happen because that was a top-tier team that just didn't find room to play for a national championship.
So when we've had national type writers like yourself on the show this summer, I've always kind of asked some version of the same question I'm about to ask you. So what is the final difference in truly closing that gap? Alabama's the team almost for sure that Georgia will play. It's not a given, but these two teams will be overwhelming favorites in their two divisions. Clemson's the team they might play. Let me stay with Alabama here for a moment. When you look at the difference between the late win that Alabama secured in both the 2017 National Championship game, the 2018 SEC Championship game, what do you think the difference is, or what do you think the thing still lacking from Georgia to turn that – you know, halftime lead into a lead that they can still preserve at the end of these games?
I think it's coaching. I think it's on Kirby Smart. And that's not necessarily a knock against him. I think it's more a knock against his experience as a head coach because, you know, up until a few years ago, he had never done this before. You can sit there and prepare for your entire career to be a head coach. When you actually have to go do it, it's a little bit more difficult. So you go back at the national championship game against Alabama, you know, they weren't prepared for Tua Tagovailoa, even though, you know, a lot of people, myself included, knew that he was going to be a part of that game plan. You know, he was going to play against Clemson in that national semifinal. Didn't do it, and really was on the verge of transferring because of that. But Kirby wasn't prepared for that. Conversely, you look at last year, was not prepared for Jalen Hurts. That's on Kirby Smart as well. So it is coaching, and that's not, again, a knock against Kirby. I think it's just a knock against his experience, especially in big spots. He doesn't have that experience yet.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point to bring up. And obviously the other thing that a lot of folks will mention is, you know, the decision to, you know, fake the punt, and as bad as that was, and Georgia fans have obviously been critical of that. And yet I think in some respects that fake punt ends up being a byproduct of a game that was on its way towards being being lost as it was. You mentioned the Jalen Hurts stuff. I guess, though, Bert, the other thing I'll go back to is when I think about the difference between Alabama and Georgia, one of the things I think a lot of Georgia fans are hoping for is this Georgia defense this season is just more dynamic with the guys it has on the field because, you know, on the one hand, you say, well, maybe Georgia wasn't prepared for Jalen Hurts, but when it comes to DeAndre Walker, who left that game as Georgia's legitimate pass-rushing threat a year ago, there was really no one to replace him with once he was off the field, and it was a little easier for Hurts to navigate once Walker left that game with an injury. I think that Georgia fans hope that this season, you know, there isn't one player who's primarily responsible for making those big plays. Like it might have been with Roquan in 2017, or it might have been with DeAndre Walker in 2018. Remains to be seen if this will be true, but I think a lot of Georgia fans are hoping that maybe that difference ends up being that you just have more dynamic options on the field defensively to stop the Alabama quarterback, whomever it might end up being.
Yeah, and that gets back to talent, right? Because Georgia had really, really good talent, but, you know, up until Kirby Smart got there, did not have the elite talent and elite depth that Clemson and Alabama have had, and that's because they just haven't had the time to do that.
Yeah.
Mark Richt had good players. Kirby Smart inherited good players, but that was just good depth. It wasn't great depth. And now he's got to a point where he's getting that great depth, and if you have that, especially if, you know, you have a little bit of a diversity of talent, then you are prepared to you know, handle those curveballs when they come up. Even if you don't prepare for them as much as you might maybe should have, you still have the ability to make in-game adjustments, and you still have the players that can execute those in-game adjustments. So, that's where it is. That's where Georgia is. It's not easy. You know, I think Georgia fans, and really, you know, I get asked this question, is it now or never for Georgia? And the answer is no. I mean, it's not now or never for Georgia. Georgia's going to be here. I mean, it's not changing. So, you know, I think that's the biggest part of it is that It does take time. We're in this society where everybody wants a quick fix, and that's not fair, especially for a college football program, because, I mean, hell, Alabama and Clemson have had a decade head start on what Kirby Smart has done. That's a huge, huge deal. So you can sit there and get to the playoff. You can sit there and have a roster that's capable of being pretty darn good and getting to that point, but unless you're extremely lucky, being there consistently is damn near impossible. And Georgia wasn't lucky last year. I mean, look at Alabama 2 years ago. They got really, really lucky just to have a chance to beat Alabama in overtime, just because the cards fell their way. So even the elite teams, even the Clemsons and Alabamas of this world, they need to have luck fall their way, despite what they are in terms of roster and roster size and depth. And so Georgia's getting to that point. They need to have the luck sometimes. They didn't get it last year. And even when they do get to that point, they're going to need it every once in a while, too.
Let me try to do a couple quick things before we let you go here. Do you think that Florida's a threat to Georgia in the SEC East at all?
Not this year. That is a roster that, again, sort of like what Kirby Smart had to deal with. Underdeveloped, not as deep as it should be, but getting there. And Dan's a good coach, and I think he will get them to a point where they are a threat. But I think that's the peak of what they can be, right? Because in the past, Georgia has been just sort of okay and the one threat to Florida. But with Georgia, cranked up the way it is, those two being 1A and 1B in the SEC East, whichever order it is about as good as it can get for Florida. And I do think that's going to happen. It's just not going to happen this year and might not happen next year. It's going to take more time than that.
You at CBSSports.com the other day wrote about some SEC championship odds various teams, kind of how they stacked up the conference championship. And in that piece, you had some nice things to say about Texas A&M, a team that Georgia hosts in November. How tough is that game for the Dogs? And I guess along those same lines, where do you see potential pratfalls for Georgia in this schedule right now?
It's going to be tough. I mean, Texas A&M, their defense is solid up front, although they have lost a few pieces. I think Mike Elko has earned that benefit of the doubt as defensive coordinator Justin Madubuike is really, really good. Their offensive line, they need to find a center, and they need to find a running back behind that offensive line. They've got guys they trust, and I think you can piece together enough to replace Trevion Williams with a bunch of different guys. But I've talked to some NFL guys, NFL scouts and analysts, and they think Kellen Mond is a legit NFL prospect. And he showed a little bit of that last year, and he's got a wide receiving core that is pretty darn solid. So I think Texas A&M is one of the toughest opponents on Georgia's schedule. I don't think Auburn's going to be that tough. And when you look at the rest of the SEC East, I mean, you're going to have to find, someone's going to have to spring an upset, and I just don't see where it is. So I think Georgia's going to be, I think they're going to be a significant favorite over pretty much everybody. If I were to guess, I think the only spreads that are within a touchdown are Notre Dame and maybe Texas A&M, depending on where each program is, in late November when those two match up.
Let me do one quick final thing before we say goodbye to you here. Obviously, everybody expects Clemson to be a playoff team, and Oklahoma, I guess, right there in that same discussion too, because they've become a little bit of a fixture in those types of talks. When you look nationally, who are the two or three teams that you think are going to be the biggest threat to crash this party this season? Is it a first-year coach at Ohio State? Is it finally Jim Harbaugh's turn? Is the Pac-12 going to be heard for a change? Who are the two or three teams kind of outside the Southeast footprint that you're paying the closest attention to?
Ohio State, just because of Justin Fields. I think they've got the talent to get there. I'm curious what Justin Fields actually is, because obviously Georgia fans are down on him based on what he did last year, but he was also asked to do things that he wasn't good at because Kirby wanted to develop him. Ryan Day is going to ask him to do things he is good at. So I want to know what kind of player he is within a system that is tailored to him because he is the starting quarterback. So I'm most interested in Ohio State. I certainly don't think Michigan can get there. The Pac-12, I'm fascinated with Oregon and Justin Herbert, but I tell you what, a team that no one's talking about and a team that I think will be in the playoff discussion in mid to late November is Utah. I think that defense is extremely salty for those that have not seen Zach Moss at running back. He's one of the best running backs in the country, and I know that's a bit, that's saying a lot, but I think it is absolutely true. Oklahoma, I think they'll be in the discussion as well. I wonder what's going to happen with Texas. Are they going to not, you know, beat each other up? And, you know, how's the offense going to work with Jalen Hurts? We don't know yet, but those are a few teams that I think, you know, we sort of need to keep an eye on. Texas out of the Big 12, kind of, you know, sort of on the fringe of that, sort of with Utah out of the Pac-12. But I'm most interested in Oregon with Justin Herbert and Mario Cristobal calling those shots, along with Ohio State, with what they can get out of Justin Fields.
Barrett, people like reading your work, like hearing you when you're on the radio and whatnot. How can people find more of you online?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Barrett Salee, Instagram at Barrett Salee CFB. Download the CBS Sports app, read everything there, watch CBS Sports HQ streaming for free 24/7 on any device, and SiriusXM every Sunday, mostly during the week on different channels, the conference channels throughout the week, and pretty much anywhere.
You're a busy guy, Barrett. We appreciate you spending some time with us here today.
All right, yeah, thanks for having me.
See you soon. Good stuff there from Barrett Salee. And I think, you know, the overall big takeaway from me that Barrett has to say there, really probably two things. It's, of course, good to have you here as part of Dog Nation, really presented by Kroger today. But he didn't mince words when I said, hey, what's the difference? What's the gap between Georgia and Alabama? How does Georgia get over that hump? You know, other national writers have said, oh, it's more about making those late plays at the end of the game. Barrett right there goes towards coaching. And I think that Barrett, obviously, a well-studied college football analyst, I don't know that I completely agree with what he has to say there. That's not necessarily my take on all of this. You know, I don't know that Georgia lost the 2017 national championship because of coaching, and I don't know that Georgia lost the 2018 SEC championship because of coaching. I think, for me, this is still about rounding off those edges when it comes to fully filling your roster with the kind of elite talent that can get that done. And as much as a lot of Georgia fans point to the offensive side of the ball, for me, as I said before, talking to Barrett about this, it's really been that defense. Do you have dynamic playmakers? Can you get after the quarterback? When DeAndre Walker was in the game against Alabama this past December, Georgia definitely could. But what about when he left the game? That, to me, was a huge difference there once Jalen Hurts came into that game as quarterback. Well, this season, in what could be a deeper defense with more of those dynamic type playmakers, maybe that truly becomes the difference. And I think that's kind of more my viewpoint on that. But something else that Barrett said that I do think, I firmly believe, and I think that Georgia fans ought to firmly believe this too, although many probably don't, is that Barrett says when it comes to Georgia in 2019, it is not now or never. But this is not the team under the most pressure when the college football playoff national championship, because knowing if it doesn't, it's never going to happen again. Barrett says that's not what Georgia's story is. And I kind of agree with that. Now, listen, there's nobody who wants to do the what went wrong shows in December and January less than me. Those are painful, and Georgia fans will be mad. They were in a terrible mood this past winter and will be in a terrible mood this upcoming winter if the same conversation happens again. And there's no guarantee that it will. There is a very good chance that Georgia finally does get over this hump this season. We never have to have those discussions. But if they don't, if this is another year where Georgia's about the third best team in the country, if that's the case, there's no reason to believe that 2020 or 2021 or any of these other years have to be any less bright as a future than they appear to be right now because of the consistent pipeline of talent that seems to be running its way into this program. Good stuff from Barrett Salee.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, that was fun to have Barrett Salee as part of the program. Make sure you check him out as part of everything going on there at CBS Sports. Let me transition to our SEC Through. And before we're done, I do kind of want to get back into the topic that the poster from the forum at forum.dognation.com brought up about the comparison between Zachary Evans and Kendall Milton, because I do think there's more to be said about that. I want to try to leave some time on today's show to make sure we do that. But as a part of our SEC Through, I want to take some news that's out there and kind of see if we can kind of figure out what's going on with this. First of all, Seth McGowan's a running back we've talked about a lot on our program, and McGowan did yesterday what a lot of people expected him to do, which is commit to Oklahoma. Yeah, there on your screen, you see that if you're watching on video. He is now committed to the Oklahoma Sooners. He has been thought to have a strong connection to Oklahoma now for a while, and he is now with the Sooners. That gives Oklahoma two pretty good running backs right now for its 2020 class. McGowan, obviously, there's a lot of reasons to like him. There are a lot of Georgia fans who like McGowan. He joins Jason McClellan as an Oklahoma committed running back right now. My question would be, assuming that McClellan stays in this class, assuming McGowan stays in this class, does that take Oklahoma now out of the running for Zachary Evans? If it does, that is another one of his finalists that we can scratch off, because last week on this program we had an Ohio State recruiting expert, Jeremy Birmingham, who said there is no way in his mind that Zachary Evans is going to Ohio State. So Ohio State out of the mix for Zachary Evans, based on the words of an expert on this show last week. Maybe Oklahoma out of the running for Zachary Evans, based on the words from, not words, but I guess circumstantial evidence of the fact that Seth McGowan just committed to Oklahoma, seemingly taking the spot that was left there for a running back. So all that leaves is a small handful of schools left, which, just based on the odds of all this, would seem to make Georgia and their chances at Evans go up just a little bit. But then there's the complicated case of Alabama, another one of those finalists for Zachary Evans, who took what I think is a bit of an unusual step yesterday. Damian George, as an offensive lineman, a teammate of Evans there at the North Shore High School in Houston, but not like an elite four or five-star prospect, not one of the top offensive linemen in the country, but Alabama took his commitment here this week, bringing George in the fold for its 2020 class. And a lot of people around the world of recruiting are saying that by bringing in a good friend of Zachary Evans, despite the fact that George's typical recruiting profile is a little bit less than what you might think that Alabama would typically be looking for when it comes to an offensive lineman, all of a sudden Alabama now has made things easier for getting Zachary Evans. There's only one problem with that in my mind. This kind of stuff doesn't ever really seem to work. I mean, wasn't it just last year that Florida brought on Umstead Sanders, who's the brother of Trey Sanders, as a preferred walk-on? And the reporting at the time was, ooh, this puts Florida in the driver's seat for Trey Sanders. If you're gonna put, if they're going to put his brother on the team, then obviously that's going to help him with Trey Sanders. But ultimately, Sanders ended up at Alabama, not Florida. And you had LSU try this same thing a couple years ago with Adam Anderson. Do you remember when LSU offered like half the Rome school, which was Adam Anderson's high school program, as a way of getting him in the fold there? You know, ultimately, Anderson didn't stick with LSU through all of that, came back to Georgia, and all those other guys end up playing, you know, somewhere else for the most part too. Those other two guys that that LSU kind of brought in there. So when it comes to these so-called package deals of we'll chase down the, and I don't mean disrespect to Damian George here, but from a just verifiable metric standpoint, the lesser recruit, we're going to take down the lesser recruit as a way of working with Zachary Evans and getting in good with him. I mean, most of the time when you see programs try this, it doesn't really seem to end up working out all that well. My assumption here for Alabama is, and one of the reasons why I take this actually is pretty good news for Georgia, if this is the Hail Mary pass that Alabama's trying to throw right now, then how far into the background were they on the Zachary Evans recruitment they felt they needed to do this? So we've already seemingly eliminated two of Evans' finalists. Oklahoma, because it's now taken commitments from two running backs. Ohio State, because an expert last week told us Evans had no relationship with the Buckeyes whatsoever. If this is as desperate as Alabama is getting when it comes to Zachary Evans' recruitment, that would kind of lead me to believe that maybe Georgia's in a better shape for Evans than many people might have thought. Now listen, I won't in no way, shape, form, or fashion pretend to be able to tell you how this one's going to end. But I think the desperation of Alabama here speaks to a program that was pretty clearly behind in the Evans recruitment. I don't think the orchestration of a so-called package deal is going to do what the Crimson Tide wants it to do. Chris Steele, the former elite recruit from Florida, who obviously was a part of kind of a weird situation that led him to transfer from that school. Initially was going to go to Oregon, now going to USC. He's kind of spoken out about the situation there. Florida had some not great things to say about Florida. And, you know, there's an issue with this where, like, as much as I like poking at the Gators and having fun and kind of being spiteful towards them. There's also an issue with the Steele thing that also feels a little bit too serious sometimes to mock, but he clearly was not happy there and did not feel like he was in a very comfortable situation whatsoever. That's going to happen from time to time. Some Florida fans have reached out to me and said, see, you know, he's already bounced from Oregon to USC. Just goes to show you the problem wasn't with Florida, the problem was with Steele. And listen, I think that is a very, very unkind assessment of that situation. He had 4 years to decide he wanted to go to Florida. He had essentially a matter of weeks to decide which school he wanted to go after that. So the fact that he changed his mind initially after thinking he was going to go to Oregon, I don't think it's any kind of blight on him. I think this is an ugly situation for Florida. And as soon as they can get Chris Steele's name out of the news cycle, I think will ultimately be better for the Gators here. But he did speak out and did not have great things to say about his time there. There was also some reports coming out of LSU that former Texas Tech wide receiver Jonathan Giles, who transferred into LSU, might now also be considering a transfer out of that program. This may end up, as much as you know, you hate it for Giles that he's having a hard time finding a college home, this may actually end up being at least a sign of a pretty good thing for the LSU wide receiver core overall. They've recruited pretty well at that position. Guys like Terrace Marshall, who was tough on Georgia, Jamar Chase was kind of a high-profile recruit when LSU won that battle over a number of other schools. This may be one of those things where LSU actually ends up being pretty deep at the wide receiver position, especially if Giles is considering looking around. We'll see where that goes, and for now we'll make that your SEC through. And you're on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. You know, one of the things that we try to do every single week here is kind of get ready for the weekend. After all, Kroger is the place that my family thinks about heading towards the weekend because we're doing cookouts or parties or anything like that. We want to stock those tables and make sure all of our guests are taken really good care of from the stuff that you get at Kroger. Just great, great stuff. And, of course, kicking off the weekend at UGA as well, it's also an important time to be mindful of the things happening around UGA athletics. Now, as we kind of move deeper into the summer, there is less and less going on, but I guess there is still one sport taking place. You got NCAA Outdoor Championships this week for the track and field team. That's going to be going on Friday and Saturday. And then after that, pretty much the next event on the Georgia sporting calendar will be August 31st when Georgia kicks off its football season against Vanderbilt. We cannot wait for that. And as I'm saying all of this, boy, I saw a picture on social media of there's a line of fans that have been waiting to get inside Arkansas's baseball stadium since Thursday. And I know LSU is excited about hosting Florida State, and a lot of these SEC teams are playing in super regionals this weekend. It would have been a lot of fun to have the Diamond Dogs in a super regional this weekend. A lot of SEC teams getting ready to enjoy that. Maybe next year for our Kroger kickoff on this particular weekend, we'll be talking about the Diamond Dogs getting ready to host a super regional and working their way to Omaha for the College World Series. Hopefully pretty soon we get a chance to do that. Either way, it's kicking off the weekend here with the Kroger kickoff. And by the way, speaking of Kroger, one of my favorite things to get at Kroger, I mentioned parties and hanging out. And a lot of times we got kids in the front porch. We like to serve those milkshakes. And when we make those milkshakes, we make them with like the real dairy milk from Georgia cows, the kind of stuff that you get at Kroger. Kroger's a great supporter of local agriculture. It's one of the reasons why the stuff from Kroger tastes so good is because they're a big-time supporter of the industry that drives the engine here at Georgia, which is agriculture, and a lot of that is those dairy cows. They make the real milk. I don't like the fake stuff. I think it's bad for you. I think it's too processed. I like real dairy milk from actual dairy cows, the kind of stuff that you get there at Kroger, so please make sure you check that out. All right. Let me get back here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, back to the topic we were addressing a few minutes ago. And as I said before, we had a poster at the forum. His name is Varsity, and he said, listen, when I look at Zachary Evans and Kendall Milton side by side, I think that Evans is the better player, but why is there all this chatter about Milton? Does that mean the Georgia coaches just like him better? And there's a chance that they do. There's a chance that Georgia is in the mix more for Milton than it is with Evans. That could very well be possible. But as I said before, ultimately for me, what I really think the bigger issue is that there's not so much a difference between the two players on the field as there is a difference between how the recruitments are working out. Milton is just a very, very public recruit. He's active on social media. His dad, Chris Milton, is very active on social media. You heard a lot for the good and the bad about how things might have gone in Columbus, Ohio last week with the Buckeyes. Milton's going to be in LSU this weekend in Baton Rouge. You will hear a lot one way or another about that. I'm sure there'll be a lot of folks in Baton Rouge who say, oh, we think he's coming here. I'm sure there'll be, you know, a lot of folks in Athens saying, nah, we think that June 14th for the official visit in Athens is going to be when all this goes down. I mean, it's just a very public recruit. By comparison, I don't think the Zachary Evans recruitment's nearly as public, but I don't think that should be taken to mean that somehow Georgia likes him less as a player, or maybe even feels like they have less of a shot of ultimately winning that recruitment with him. I think this is a fascinating thing to watch unfold right now as these elite programs all try to figure out how the best way to get involved with an elite running back. Alabama kind of throwing the Hail Mary pass with its recent commitment from the offensive lineman and kind of everything else in between. But I also get no indication that Georgia feels anything other than confident they can still be heavily in the mix for Milton or Evans, or maybe in the perfect world, maybe Milton's and Evans. Either way, we'll watch that one and see where it goes. I do think it's going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to have Jeff Sintel back from vacation next week, and I'll have a lot more at DogNation.com coming up on this. And, of course, back here again on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger next Friday to discuss this. He'll be here on Tuesday, too. So it'll be a lot of fun getting more of Jeff's thoughts on this after he's come back tanned, rested, and ready to attack the crucial moments of this 2020 class before August comes around. A lot of these guys truly do shut it down a bit more to focus on their senior seasons. There's a lot more recruiting news coming. We'll have a lot of that for you here on Dog Nation Daily. I started the show today by kind of mocking Florida. I enjoy doing that, and it seems appropriate to end the show kind of doing the same thing, because around here we believe that good Georgia fans are Gator haters, and that's why we remind you it has now been 951 days since those lousy, stinking Gators beat the Georgia Bulldogs. It's our Gator Hater Updater. We do it every day. Hope you all have a great weekend. We'll look forward to seeing you back here on Monday for Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger once again.